When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Patriot Nation Podcast.
Hi, welcome into another edition of the Patriot Nation Podcast, your boy Pat Lane. As always, this episode is brought to you by, I just had a complete brain fart. Prize Picks. Right in the corner there. Prize Picks, the official daily sports fantasy app of CLNS. Oh my God, what a disaster. Matt, you might have to do the intros from now on. That was just terrible. That was terrible. That's how you know it's live, because like that would never be. If you're listening in podcast form, you're like, "What the hell was going on here?" We don't edit things out, man. This is just we let it fly, baby.
That was Mac Jones-esque.
Let's try. That was really bad. That's like Mac Jones of Germany-esque.
That was that's a pick six on the first drive of the game, Pat.
Sure it is. Yeah, sure it is. Not great. Not a great way. Not the way you're looking to start the game off. You know what I mean? So we are brought to you by Prize Picks, was the official fantasy sports app, daily fantasy sports app of CLNS Media. Matt St. Jean with me as always. Okay, here we go. That was rough. What was also rough, I thought, well, not rough. I shouldn't say rough. What wasn't rough was the combine. I thought the combine went very well. There were some people that, I mean, just absolute physical freaks. The offensive linemen in particular. I've been looking at the offensive linemen like, holy Christ, there are some unbelievable – unbelievably athletic and talented offensive linemen. It's a good year to need offensive line help, and the Patriots need a lot of it. And so they should just draft all offensive linemen.
I think the thing I'm most terrified by in this draft is that, you know, we know offensive tackle and wide receiver are kind of the two really hot spots in this draft. And I'm terrified that not all the good players, but all the guys in like the top tier or two are going to go between picks 3 and 34, and the Pats are going to take a QB at 3, get to 34, and it's like the last of the top tier of the receivers, or you're to that next tier or whatever. And you know, it's, you got to start reaching on some of these guys, because that's the thing, you know, sometimes if the prospects are good, people fall. Sometimes when the prospects are this good, everybody just wants one and they all go early,
right?
And you might be there at 34, and the best guy on your board is the defensive guy who's ranked way above everybody else because there's just such a big run on offense. And, you know, do you take the best player on the board by a mile who plays, you know, corner or edge or whatever, or do you reach and take a tackle way earlier than you would have?
Well, so that's the only thing I was going to say, and you kind of said it, Raising Amazing over here said the same thing. There's so many good receivers. So, like, between the quarterbacks, which everyone loves quarterbacks, between the quarterbacks, the receivers, and the offensive linemen, I mean, like, I'm looking at, and I know there's some fantastic defensive players too, but like, is it going to be weird to see like Kool-Aid McKinstry there at 34, Cooper Jazeen there at 34? Like, there's going to be some high-end talent on the defensive side of the ball there at 34. And but then I also wonder too, like, well, with the receiver and the offensive line class being so deep, are people going to target defensive players because it's not as deep, right? Are they going to look at it and say, well, I can get a receiver in the third round, I can't get an elite corner in the third round, right? But I can get an elite corner now, and they've been pushed down the draft board. So in that mid-20 range, last year, that mid-20 range was all the wide receivers, right? Those wide receivers went like, 20 through 24 or something like that, right?
Yeah, four or five in a row,
right? So I wonder if we see that happen with corners, where it's like no one's taken a corner yet because there's so many good offensive linemen and wide receivers and quarterbacks, And now it's like, okay, no, we're just going to draft all of the corners right now because, like, holy crap, this guy would be a top 10 pick or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking of corners and wide receivers, one of my takeaways from this too, it's just two players. It's Xavier Worthy. I think he says Xavier, not Xavier, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
And Wiggins, the corner from Clemson.
Yes.
Both of these guys, very, very fast, very, very skinny. Those are two guys where I'm just curious to see where the NFL lands on them. Because those are guys, you know, you put them in the NFL 10 years ago and they might not get drafted before pick 40 because teams are going to look at that weight and say, no shot. And now it's a different league. But, you know, Worthy is a guy, he's got really good production, highly recruited coming out of high school. He's got John Ross speed. He's also 23 pounds lighter than John Ross was.
Right. He's
10 pounds lighter than Devontae Smith. We've never seen a guy like that in the NFL. We have no idea how that translates. And I'm very curious, you know, who it is that takes the risk on a guy like that. Because it is a risk. You know, that's a boom-bust type player. And the same goes for Wiggins on defense.
Yep, I agree. Keegan, by the way, in the chat saying, pick Benson at ice cream.
I love Benson.
Hashtag Pat Lane mock draft target.
We picked him in our first two mock drafts.
That's true. You picked the two, right? And so
I think I got him in like the sixth round, too. That's not happening anymore.
No, God, no. Xavier Leggett, people are talking about. You know, look, I look at it's a really good point about, you know, about those two guys. They're just so fast. And the thing about the difference with Worthy and a guy like Taekwon, who Taekwon ran the, you know, a 4.22 as well, right? But the difference.
4.28. Oh, yeah.
4.28. I'm sorry.
Or with 4.28 Christian Gonzalez. I'm getting them all mixed up.
I don't remember. I know he was the fastest guy at the combine. I know that. Doesn't matter what he actually ran. He couldn't really run routes, right? Now, Evan Lazar put out like his release package, which looked good. Turns out it isn't. But, you know, Worthy can actually run a route. Like, he's experienced at running routes. He's not the best route runner in the draft, but he's good enough to be able to use the speed with the route running, and you can coach him up a little bit more. You know, so I think that there's a little bit more to be said about him. But, you know, it's a good question. And Wiggins is another one. I mean, you know, he's a corner, so I don't know if it matters quite as much. Obviously the speed matters clearly, right? But I don't know if like if you need necessarily the quote unquote fastest corner, right? So, but we've seen small guys go. I mean, Jack Jones, the Patriots, you know, and took him a little bit later, but Jack Jones, Marcus Jones, two small guys the Patriots have invested in. Emmanuel Forbes went 16 overall last year, and he was a
really Christian Gonzalez guy. Doesn't exactly have a ton of meat on the bone either.
No, so
he's bigger than.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Forrest, but he's a skinny guy.
Right. And so I don't think it just depends on how you play, what your playing style look like. You know what I mean? And yeah. Are you willing to be physical and get up and bang with the guys down low, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of physicality, you mentioned Ben Sinnott in there. I look at tight ends and, you know, I love Brock Bowers on tape. If I'm a team in the top 10, I don't know if I can justify picking him because at least, you know, we'll see what he does at his pro day, but he's got good size. I'm not crazy worried about the size, but he isn't Gronk. He didn't test at all. And he's a guy, you know, tight athleticism, I think, is a little bit overrated at most spots. You know, there's not a big difference between guys who are, you know, 70th percentile and 99th percentile in athleticism at the combine at the end of the day, because usually all of those guys are athletic, and at that point technique matters. Tight end is a position where we've seen athleticism really, really, really matter historically. And you know, Bowers not testing, you don't know for sure what the athleticism is. He's average tight end size, and you know, it's if you're taking him in the top 10, you're basically paying him like a top 10, top 5 tight end in the league right away.
Right.
And then you got 5 or 6 guys, I think, who were expected to go on day 2 or day 3 at the position who did amazingly at the combine, who had great testing. And Ben Sinnott is among them. Theo Johnson had a relative athletic score of 10, a perfect 10 at one point. I don't know if it's still that right now.
Right.
And a couple other guys in there. And I think from a value perspective, grabbing one of those guys is 100%. Much better than taking Bowers high, which I hate to say because I love Bowers. He's so much fun to watch. But, you know, a lot of the great tight ends are guys who are just freak athletes on day two or day three who took a couple of years to come into their own in the NFL and then blossomed into really good players. And historically, that's been the strategy. And that's something I want the Patriots to do. You know, tight end is a need for this team. And whether it's the second round, third round, fourth round, just grab one of those freak athletes, whichever one you like, whichever one you think fits your style the best, and see what happens with them. There's a couple names there. And
there are. And that's, and I think, but I think, like you said, to your point, just go after that physical freak. Go after that guy that can do things that other guys can't do. Maybe he's not super polished yet. Maybe Theo Johnson isn't super polished yet, but he's a freak athlete. Get him out there and see what can happen, you know. But Ben Sinnott's a guy that we both love. I mean, you know, but it's, but, you know,
Sinnott's already polished, and then he had this crazy athletic testing that's like, oh, didn't know he had that.
Well, then even like Jatavion Sanders, who I think is, you know, has a chance to be good. You know, I don't think he tested, though. Did he test?
He did some. I don't know. Not all of it, right? I'm going to pull up. It's for those who don't know, it's Kent Lee Platt.
Yeah, I think it's Math Bomb, right? Isn't he Math Bomb on Twitter?
At Math Bomb on Twitter. He does the relative athletic scores for players, which looks at their combine information and kind of puts all the numbers into one number.
He was saying that it started – when the hell did he start it? He said he started it when Le'Veon Bell was a rookie. I think he started it when he said when Le'Veon Bell was a rookie, and he was like – he tested slow, and he was like, there's got to be a better way than just looking at like the 40 time. He's like, that's not – can't be right. So I think that that's when he came up with it. And he kills it every year, man. Kills it every year. And that's like one of those things that like he just created it. And everyone uses it. Like, everyone uses it. It's kind of wild, you know?
Yeah, it's really. So Sanders did some testing. He didn't do the jumping. Which, honestly, of all the tests that they do, the broad jump and the vertical leap, I think, are the ones I look forward to the most for a lot of these guys. Especially tight end, because, you know.
The explosion. Yeah, that explosion.
And being able to have that both as a route runner and a blocker is crucial. And, you know, Sanders didn't do that. He had an RAS score here of 8.06, which is that's a good, but not great.
Right.
And it's part of that's he's undersized, you know, he's 6'3", he's 245 pounds. Those aren't bad measurements, but they definitely aren't good ones.
Yeah. Old Man Mob touched on something, and I think it relates a little bit to tight ends, but he said he'd rather have a bigger, slower wide receiver than a smaller, thin, fast wide receiver. And I think it relates to tight ends in the fact that there are different types of tight ends out there, right? Where it's, you know, kind of that same, are you looking for that inline blocking tight end necessarily? Or are you looking for that tight end who's more of a slot guy, like a Dalton Kincaid type player, right? He's not a prototypical tight end. You're not going to ask him to line up, you know, in line. Mm-hmm. But he's useful, right? He's a useful player. And I wonder, you know, if we're heading more towards that, away from that inline blocking tight end and more towards that, you know, route runner, you know, flex out tight end. But you look at what Mike Gesicki did last year, though, and you wonder if, you know, that's the case.
Well, Mike Gesicki, I think, just wasn't good. I think that was the issue there. What I look at when you mention that, so you look at the weights of the linebackers who are coming in. I believe there were only two linebackers above, I don't remember if it was 240 or 250 was the threshold, but there's no big linebackers, essentially, in this draft class. There's no big bodies coming into the NFL. And I look at what the Patriots just did. You know, they're talking about Baker Mayfield or Jacoby Brissett at quarterback or Joe Flacco at quarterback. And, you know, they want to invest in the offensive line. And you talk about the tight end position, you start to put it all together. And what I see is defense is getting lighter and the opportunity to just ram the ball down their throats with a really effective and powerful offensive line. This is something I touched on a couple of weeks ago, too, when looking at what AVP might do, is that if they don't see a quarterback who they think is, you know, your immediate path forward, I think what you do is you take a look at what Michigan just did to win a national title, and you say, hey, we can run this type of offense where we're just going to run and run and run and run, and we're going to get bigger guys than anybody else has out there because we're prioritizing speed a lot now, and we're going to use that to set up the offense. obviously easier to do in college when you can just recruit players and it's a very different environment and you got bigger strength advantages. But I do wonder if you can kind of zag when everybody else zigs there and go in the opposite direction. And now I think everybody wants that quick tight end who can run around and do everything. And if that means you can get a guy who can be a really powerful blocking tight end to dominate later in the draft, I think you take advantage of the fact that other teams might let you do that.
The only problem that I have with that is that we tried that in 2020 and 2021. And, you know, it's just not, it's difficult because the problem is that it's harder. It makes it more difficult to have consistent runs, you know, and have consistent drives because you want to pick up chunk plays. You want to be able to score. And, you know, it becomes difficult to do, especially where you have a little bit of a piecemeal offensive line. I mean, maybe they'll invest in offensive line. They bring in Tyron Smith, perhaps. You re-sign Mike Onwenu for whatever it costs. You hope Cole Strange is better than he was last year, and you hope City So develops a little bit. But, like, Tyron Smith hasn't been healthy. Played 17 games last 2 years combined. So, like, that's not great, you know? And so, look, I don't necessarily hate that idea. I wonder if that's a feasible way to run a high functioning offense in the NFL. Now, is it something that you could do for a year when things aren't great? Maybe, yeah. But I don't know if you can ever get to be a top 10 offense in the NFL doing that. I don't see it. You know, that's the problem I have. You have to have that game breaking ability at some point. And I don't think that type of offense gives you that.
See, that I think the key to my argument here too is that I don't think it's a long-term strategy. I think it's a short-term one. I think it's right. What you do to get success while you figure out, you know, the quarterback position or the receiver position or whatever it is. Because the other thing here, you know, let's say it is a young quarterback. We all know how good Mac Jones looked as a rookie. Why? Because they could run the ball. And then do play action, throw it over the heads of linebackers or get your deep shots because, you know, you got the safety involved in the running game. If they are drafting a rookie and they want him to play, I think this point still stands because, you know, you can do this for a year or two and maybe it works for longer than that. And maybe it's one of those, you know, you go back to Tom Brady early on in his career. There was a whole lot of there's two different things that they did a lot of early in Tom Brady's career. The first one was your play action passing game to set up the easy shots. And the second thing was the spread offense at times to give the quarterback simple reads, both of which they did with Mac Jones as a rookie. I think these are, you know, tried and true things. And sometimes, you know, that's what you need to make the strategy work is just better players. So you do enough to be a playoff team to be competitive while you don't have the players you want. And while you're doing that, you invest in players for the future so that, you know, 5 years down the line, yeah, you can still do all that. But when you need to, you can go to other things too. Or those things can be very efficient because of how good your guys are.
Right. It's an interesting point. And so I think there's a bunch of different ways you can do it. I think they do have some of the guys to be able to do that. You know, we'll see. And you have a guy like Ramondre back there who can be a bell cow. We've seen that. You know, and then he can bring in another guy to help him out. I think then that you can be successful doing that. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know how much I love the idea of it. But, you know, if it's something that they want to try for the short term. And again, I think from what it sounds like, if the Patriots are telling the truth, which who knows if they're telling the truth or not. And honestly, I kind of hope they're not telling the truth at this point on March 3rd. Although I will say, my dad mentioned this to me, and Red Auerbach, who, you know, is arguably the greatest GM in the history of sports, right? Had the famous thing with Dave Cowens, who's a Hall of Famer, right? Went to a Dave Cowens game. I think Celtics had like the number 3 pick or the number 2. I don't remember exactly where they were. They weren't drafting number 1. Dave Cowens was considered to be the best college basketball player in the league. Going number 1, 100%. Everyone was like, this guy's legit. Auerbach goes to scout him, walks out of the game pissed. He's like shaking his head like, Jesus, like what a, like just visibly upset. Like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, this guy, come on, you know? And so people are like, wait, Red doesn't like him? Maybe Red, he doesn't? Okay, well, maybe we won't draft him number one. So the Celtics draft him at three or wherever he gets taken in the set. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, he ends up in the Hall of Fame. Lenny Bias, the same thing. Now, Lenny Bias, of course, tragic accident and died, you know, at the night of the night to get drafted. But the team that was drafting number one, he said to them, you better take Lenny Bias or I'm taking him second. And so now he's playing mind games with them. Like, well, okay, but why would he tell us that? If he really wants Len Bias, we should we take Len Bias or we shouldn't take Len? He's trying to go to some. So even if the Patriots are telling the truth, my point is this, even if the Patriots are telling the truth at this point, no one's telling the truth right now. And so if that's the case, even if you're being truthful, there's a question of, well, are they actually being truthful? And then if you sign a quarterback, which the Patriots, I assume, are going to do, then it's, well, yeah, I guess they're telling the truth. But are they telling the truth? I mean, maybe they are, but who knows? Like, you know, so you don't really know if they're telling the truth at this point or not, right? So, you know, because no one should be telling the truth right now. It's March 4th, right?
Like, silly season.
You know? And so the question is, they could be completely honest and being transparent about what they want to do, but still people are going to be like, I don't know if that's really what they want to do or not. So they could be just trying to drive with the price on number three, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and it's right now with everything that's out there, there's no way everything's accurate because we're hearing both that they're interested in Baker Mayfield, a guy who's probably going to want, what, 3 years, $30, $35 million a year, yeah, something in that range, uh-huh, and also that they want to draft a quarterback at three. You're not doing both of those. That's correct. Not happening.
Yeah.
So somebody's not telling the truth in there. Who, you know, we don't know yet. Maybe they're both lies. We really don't know.
True.
But, yeah. Everybody likes to negotiate through the press. One thing I did find interesting is that most of the local people have been reporting about, you know, like Baker Mayfield or Jacoby Brissett or Joe Flacco, guys like that. But the national reporters, and I think specifically Jeff Howe is the name that comes to mind, mm-hmm, is the one who's been saying, man, they love all these quarterbacks. That screams to me that them loving all the quarterbacks is a smokescreen.
Yeah.
If they're going to the national reporter with that, one that all the teams are going to hear and listen to, and you know, all the GMs and the guys in the front office have their athletic notifications or whatever, and they're going to see, oh, Jeff Howe says Patriots love all these quarterbacks.
Right.
And that was definitely something I picked up on, that there's a difference in between the national guys and the local guys in the way this stuff's being covered.
Well, that's what you want, right? You want everyone to believe you want all of them, because it doesn't matter who goes 1-2 in that case. If it comes out that Washington loves Jaden Daniels, well, we love Drake May. If it comes out that Washington loves Drake May, well, we love Jaden Daniels. We love them all. So, like, you know, we're taking someone at three. And, you know, I know you're excited to see it. J.J. McCarthy at three is absolute insanity to me.
I would not. Like, I think I personally would have J.J. McCarthy over Jaden Daniels on my board, which is mostly just, I think, looking at the risks of taking an older quarterback. I think that's where I'm factoring that in.
Yeah.
I mean, I am not comfortable with Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy in the top 10. And I like both of them. I think they're both good players, but there's just too much risk. Yeah. And if you're comparing it to drafting Marvin Harrison Jr., who fixes the biggest issue that this franchise has had since 2017, you could argue since they lost Randy Moss, he fixes that issue in one go, and you can just wash your hands of it and solve wide receiver one for the next decade and a half. Or the alternative, that somebody else likes a quarterback and gives you a stupid amount in a trade. Now, that's what we're comparing it to. I don't think you can draft Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy over either of those. You just can't.
I agree. I do like Drake May. Drake May has kind of gotten into my QB2 spot.
Yeah.
But I feel the same way about you. And I'm very tempted. Someone asked me for my top six quarterbacks, and I'm very, very, very tempted to put Michael Penix at three. I can't do it. I can't, because he's older and he has the injury history. But I love Michael Penix as a player. And so the cost you can get Michael Penix at compared to the cost you're going to have to pay for Jaden Daniels and or J.J. McCarthy, I think I love that idea of being able to get him in the second round or even a little bit later in the second round and kind of go, you know, to see what happens. And so I will see. You know, Old Man Mob asked about the chances of the Pats taking two quarterbacks in the draft. I think it's a possibility. The question for me though is, you know, who do you take the second chance on? So like Kirk Cousins, just as an example, Washington did it, of course, with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. RG3 was that home run number two, like there, and they traded up for him as well, right? So like they went up and got him and somewhere from that. So you know, I understand it. But the Kirk Cousins was like the safe. Okay, he's a guy that can, you know, he throws the ball. He's not the greatest athlete, but he's not a terrible athlete, but he can throw the ball well and he understands what's going on. He's a process quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And TJ mentions Joe Milton. Like, Joe Milton's not a guy you take in the, I mean, I guess you could take him in the late rounds, but he's not a backup guy. He's a guy that you want to see if you can develop into a superstar, you know?
Well, I think the fact that a guy with the arm of Joe Milton is solidly a day three pick tells you
it's
a lot of what you need to know about him as a prospect. And I say that as somebody, like, as a Michigan fan who watched him play at Michigan and then watched him at Tennessee, like, it's, he's got one of the, he might step into the NFL and immediately have the best arm in the NFL. And just the rest of it isn't there for him. You know, I hope he develops it. Hope he makes it work. But
Sam, I think Sam Hartman could be a guy like that. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, he looked awful. Looked awful the Senior Bowl, but like,
well, no, he looked beautiful. If we're being honest,
I mean, that's a great point. A football player. The on field play looked terrible. He looked great with his flow. He's,
the thing that's nice for Sam Hartman is that whenever this NFL dream dries up for him, he can be a male model the next day. But I know I don't hate the idea of taking two quarterbacks. I think the issue is it's going to depend a lot on how much you like the second guy and how many draft picks you have. Right. Pats only make 7 picks in this draft. I don't think you use 2 picks on quarterback because they have so many other needs. You're only doing it if it's, you know, you take Drake May or Jaden Daniels at 3 or whatever it ends up being, and you get to the 4th round and somehow Michael Penix is still on the board or Spencer Rattler is still on the board. And it's like, well, we still don't really need it, but he's so high above anybody else we have that we feel like we have to. Right. Unless it's that or extra picks, I'm just not that interested.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of in the same boat. By the way, Brandon in the chat thinks that Daniels is far and away the second best QB.
I will say, because he's talked about watching LSU tape. I've been watching LSU tape for 2 years, and Jaden Daniels was a guy I had as a sleeper coming into this year. I liked what I saw, and he was fantastic this year. I'm just, you know, it's a guy who's very skinny, who likes to run a lot, who doesn't protect his body, and he's an older quarterback. And those are two things that historically there are issues with when guys get to the NFL. Yep. And, you know, I like him. He seems like a great leader. He's got a very accurate touch on the ball. He's obviously a very good runner. He's very, very, very smart runner. But, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly how much of his improvement this year is a result of the supporting cast that he had. And you combine that with some of the other concerns, and it's, all right, this is a guy I would take if the Patriots were at 12. Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with that. Not at 3, not compared to some of the other guys. I do think, he was probably the best quarterback in all of college football this past year. He earned it, I mean, production-wise, the Heisman, mm-hmm. he earned it, because I think Caleb Williams and Drake May, this is what complicates the discussion, is that Caleb Williams and Drake May both had worse supporting casts in 2023 than they did in 2022, and kind of took a step back for a lot of people from a production standpoint. And I think if you get into the tape for both of those guys, you know, I think a lot of the quote-unquote concerns about Caleb Williams are just kind of made-up things about him that people just kind of...
He cried to his mom. He paints his nails.
You got guys...
Not a leader.
You can't say the dude isn't competitive and then also complain about him crying because they lost the game. Those two don't match up. You're either competitive or you're not. And you know, who cares if he paints his nails? We're talking about football here. Who cares what he wears off the field? It doesn't matter at all.
I will say some of the stuff I don't love is like looking into ownership and doing and not, you know, and again, he didn't get measured at the combine. Neither did Jaden Daniels or Malik Nabers, right? Like, so,
or Drake May. Or Drake none May. Of these guys were doing.
So that's
anything,
the yeah. thing is that, like, you know, you cannot love some of what he's doing. He also knows he's probably going to be the number one pick. And so, yeah. like, you know, why is he going to parade himself out there? He doesn't need to. He doesn't need right. to.
I you love know, what so
that's,
he's...
That's the way I look at it.
I love what he's doing with the medicals, too, where he's only giving medicals to teams if they interview him. I think yeah. that's really smart. He's the basically... I mean, there's no way he's not the number one overall pick at this right. point. He has to be. If that's
almost
the case,
guaranteed. Yeah.
Why are you giving medical reports to teams that you're going to be playing against? Why would you do right. that? It's smarter for yourself to just play it low-key. He's great with the media, too. I think he answers questions really well. He's obviously a fantastic leader. You can see that both in the way he talks and the way his teammates talk about him. So he's the obvious one of one. No, he's at the top. And then you know, Drake May, I mean, you talk about the supporting cast he had this year. Like, that's how people love Tez Walker. I mean, he was the best receiver on that UNC team, but even then, I think he was worse than Josh Downs was last year, and he was only there for half the season. And you know, things were – and that when that off – that offense is so poorly designed, too. I mean, they both USC and UNC, I was watching this tape, like – you're asking these quarterbacks to be Superman back there because none of these receivers can separate and they're running the most basic concepts and the offensive line can't block. And what are we doing out here? Like, we're just, right. and there's no answers for anything. And it was right. mind-boggling. And even with all of that, these guys were highly, highly productive. So now I think those are your clear top two to me. I think it's those two. And then about a half tier down to where Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy are. And then I think Nix, Penix, and maybe Rattler, if you like him, can all be in that next tier. And a yeah. lot of that's just going to be, you know, what flavor do you like?
Right, right. Someone says, remember to vote tomorrow. Do you vote in New York tomorrow? I know Massachusetts, we vote tomorrow for primary. I don't know if that's true
think,
in New York.
Oh, well. I think we already did our, depending okay. on which one. No, we had a special election recently.
Oh, okay. This is like the presidential primary is tomorrow yeah. In Massachusetts. Thad says Drake May reminds him of a more athletic Mac Jones. I don't see it. He has a significantly. Oh,
I fully agree with him on this.
Really? I just think he has a better arm than Mac Jones.
Well, he said more athletic. That's where you see it. I think in some ways Drake May is what Mac Jones would be if those weird trick plays he tries out of structure actually worked, if he had the athleticism to pull it off. That's what Drake May is like half the okay. time out there.
But I mean,
he does.
Isn't that a good thing?
Why,
it's like Mac Jones if he were good.
Well, yeah. When it's this is why the first time I watched Drake May, I was so low on him because I felt like I'm watching Mac Jones again. But then you watch it again and you realize, oh, he's doing these things intentionally. He knows the limits of his own body and he knows how right. creative he can be and he can do this stuff. And you know, I think. I have questions about his anticipation and his ability to play in structure at this point, some of his accuracy, but you know, unless you're drafting Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or whatever, you're always going to have questions on a guy. May is close enough that I think you can try to develop him and see what happens.
Right.
Like and he is, right. as Mr. Barden says, he's not afraid to take a hit either. Unlike Jaden Daniels, he actually has more meat on himself, on his frame to absorb some of those hits.
Right. I like it. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to do a live seven-round mock draft. Before we do, I have a quick question for you and for the chat. We'll talk about and then we'll go over some user-submitted or listener-submitted chats as drafts as well. But just a quick word from our sponsors here. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Now, Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. Now this week for me, I have Steph Curry for more than 29 points and Nikola Jokic for more than 10 rebounds. And then Caitlin Clark for more than 30 points and LeBron James for more than 7 assists. So download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right. So here's the question. I was talking to my buddy Chris, about this on Saturday. And I thought it was an interesting question, interesting discussion. I thought he was insane at first. And then as he talked a little bit more, okay. He was saying a number one quarterback is the most overrated position in the NFL. Was his argument. Now that's a little steep, okay? But here was his argument. Taking a quarterback in the top five is not as valuable as trading out and getting a whole crap ton back to move out of the top five and have someone else take a quarterback. And so at first, again, thought he was insane. I'm like, all right, but you need a quarterback, right? We all know you need a great quarterback. His argument was this, right? Think about the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. If we just roll down the list of the top 10 quarterbacks, whether it's, you know, Lamar, Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, right? I don't know who else would be on that list. Burrow.
We throwing C.J. Stroud in there?
Sure. Let's throw in C.J. Stroud. Stafford. Would Stafford make the top 10? Probably not, yeah. Right?
Okay. He wouldn't mind. I still like him. Yeah, he's a gamer.
Okay. That's fine. But fine. Throw all those top 10, even if you want to say Brock Purdy, put all those guys in there, right? I don't think Brock Purdy's in the top 10, but then fine. Two questions. Number one, how many championships those guys have, right? Unless you have Patrick Mahomes, you're not winning multiple. None of those guys have more than one championship, not one of them. Jalen Hurts, another good example. Jalen Hurts, yeah. Number two, where were those guys taken? How many of those guys were the first quarterback taken in their draft? Matt Stafford was, right? Is Trevor Lawrence a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? I don't think so.
He's on his good days, yes.
So that's the thing. So
hard to tell how many of those he has.
And that's the problem. Now, the thing is it the system? Is it the coaching? Is it the team around him? So his argument, of course, was that you need good quarterbacks, just like you need good players everywhere, right? But can you win? Are you more able to win with a great team and a quarterback that can make plays when it matters, right? Than you would be with a great quarterback with a team that's mediocre, right? And then the argument, well, what about the Chiefs this year? And I would say that Mahomes got carried a little bit by his defense this year. And he's Mahomes, right? I mean, Mahomes and Brady almost don't count in this argument. But Mahomes was drafted 10th overall, was not the first quarterback taken in his draft. Brady, of course, drafted 199. Clearly not the first quarterback taken in his draft. So, you know, you look around the league at those top 10 guys. I mean, we just named a lot of them, right? Herbert wasn't the number one guy in his class, right? Herbert got taken, what, fourth? Mm-hmm. I think he was he fifth overall or sixth? I think he was sixth overall, right? Because they took Tua. Miami took Tua over
Burrow him. One, two at five, Herbert at six, I think is how
right.
That went.
So Herbert's the third quarterback drafted that year, right? I was thinking he was fourth, but third quarterback drafted that year. Okay. And so, you know, again, Stafford goes 1-1, fine. But he doesn't, yeah, okay, Stafford goes 1-1, sure. Mahomes, again, second quarterback taken, right? There's no one between him and Mitch and him, yes, right? Mm-hmm. Lamar gets taken 32nd overall.
Fifth quarterback taken.
Right. So you go down the line. Go down the line. Jalen Hurts in the second round. So go down the line of all the quarterbacks taken and how many of them were taken in the top five. How many times does a team trade up for a quarterback in the top five and have it work out?
See, I think the thing that's tough there is you say a top five because the two best quarterbacks in the AFC were both trade ups. They just weren't into the top five.
True. Yep. No,
Mahomes
that's true.
And Josh Allen there.
Mahomes and Josh Allen, right? Yep.
I think I agree with his argument to an extent.
Right.
I think the issue is having a quarterback is almost your ticket to the dance. You can't. You are not tall enough to ride the championship contention, whatever, unless you have a quarterback who can win you games. That's kind of the bare minimum. So
True.
You need to get there. The difference between a quarterback who's just over that threshold and who's like the eighth best quarterback in the NFL might not be that massive. Like, if you want to upgrade from the 15th best quarterback in the NFL to the eighth best quarterback in the NFL, I'm not sure how much that gets you. Although, in defense of that statement, that's kind of what the Rams did, upgrading from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford, and it worked for them.
Yeah.
I think the key, I don't know. It's tough because there's almost a nihilistic way to take this, which is that if you don't have a quarterback who's capable of being the greatest of all time, you might as well just not show up and play for the future. And that's obviously, I don't think anybody would be happy if we came on here and said Mahomes is still playing. All right, let's play for 2035, and that'll be our year.
Yeah,
you gotta try. So I think it's tough. I think the other part of this is that I like the idea of trading back, but you have to be in a position where a quarterback is available to even do that. And like, I think, you know, the Bears are very happy with the trade that they made, but then you look at the Cardinals, and for as good as Kyler Murray is, like, you're Arizona and you've known how good CJ Stroud was gonna be. Like, I don't know if you handle things the way it is, and that pick ends up being way later in the first.
Well, they also couldn't get out of that. They couldn't get out of that contract even if they wanted to. I mean, they'd be in a Broncos situation where they're $85 million.
It softens the blow if you're able to get elite quarterback play or rookie contract.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, no, I think it's one of those where quarterback is overrated at certain points. As long as your quarterback is tall enough to ride, then I think you're good. And maybe overrated is trying to upgrade within that tier if you're not getting to in elite guy.
True. And I just think what I think for me, and I think overrated may not be the right word for it. It's the word he used, so that's why I used it. But I don't know if it's that necessarily the right word. And I'm not even sure if that's the word he really wanted to use. But,
yeah,
you know, I just think, to your point, if you have a guy that can get you there, if the quarterback is good and if the rest of the team is good enough, the quarterback just has to make a few plays, right? But and the team then can't blow it at the end. I mean, that's, you know, Brock Purdy at the end of the game, his right guard goes the wrong way, misses Chris Jones. Somehow they don't account for Chris Jones. And they have two guys wide open for a touchdown, and they miss them both, right? And I think he should have held in there a half second longer and try to hit, you know, what's his name on the whip route.
Juwan Jennings.
Thank you, Juwan Jennings. On the whip route for a touchdown, right? I think he's got to hold. He's got to stay in there another half second and get rid of that ball. But either way, you know. But again, it's he had Ayuk over the middle on the corner blitz from what's his name? 22. Trent McDuffie. Jesus Christ, Trent McDuffie. Can't remember anyone's name tonight. I'm a mess tonight. But you know, but you get the idea here. Like, he's got to make some of those plays, and he didn't make those plays to win them the game.
But I think that said, you look back at also, like, I think that's the example of why the quarterback isn't overrated, because the difference in these games was quarterback made a play, other quarterback didn't. That's the Super Bowl. You go back, like, think about that first Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl.
Yep.
They lost that game in part, the 49ers did, because Jimmy Garoppolo missed the one deep shot they got. It all came down to one play. He didn't hit it. And that was kind of
right.
And what did that do? That changed. That one play changed so much in the NFL, because that's why they go out and try to get Trey Lance and make these moves and, you know, give Miami all those picks that loads them up, everything that happens there. And you go back a year earlier, you're looking at the Rams. And why are the Rams in the position they are in the Super Bowl against the Patriots? Because they got one player. They got New England to bust the coverage all day long. Jared Goff doesn't get there in time. Can't make the throw. You don't get the touchdown. And you're stuck with 3 points in the Super Bowl. And you know that performance was a contributing factor to the Rams moving on from their quarterback and making, again, what's one of the most influential moves in modern NFL history by going to get Stafford, and the way that changed both of those franchises. So I think it's kind of hard to say it's overrated when the these one or two plays in critical games that these middle tier, you know, tall enough to ride but not elite quarterbacks couldn't make. Ended up changing some of these.
Well, that's a good point. And I think the other part of it too for me is like, look at Russell Wilson. Look at what the Broncos gave up to get Russell Wilson. What ended up being two top 10 picks and a second round pick and some players.
I think there was two second round picks in there. I think it was, I think it amounted to four top 50 picks.
Yeah, you might be right. It might have been 2 second round picks. I mean, just an absolute disaster, a disaster of a trade. One of the worst trades the NFL has ever seen.
Yeah.
Because not just the draft picks, but also now they're left with $85 million of dead cap. It's crazy. It's crazy. And so I think that there are pros and cons to it. I think you have to be in that. And first of all, Russell Wilson, I thought, had shown signs of decline in Seattle anyways. I think that trade was insane. It was insane. I mean, yeah, the Jets gave up far less to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's crazy to think that the Broncos would trade that much. And I know, obviously, Russell Wilson is you know, a few years younger than Aaron Rodgers, but not – he's not 15 years younger than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it's crazy to me.
Well, and I think this is the key. Like, you have to be aggressive in looking for your quarterback, because not having one can alone be the difference between – you know, not only winning a Super Bowl or not, but as a GM, you keeping your job or not.
True.
So you have to be aggressive, but you have to do it while making the smart move.
You know what, though? I might disagree with that, because George Patton still has a job after making that trade.
True. I said might be the difference.
So, you're right. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
But, you know, why do the Patriots have the offensive coordinator they do this year? Because the Browns went and gave up the farm for a quarterback with how many sexual harassment allegations against him to pay him all that money guaranteed, because they felt like they needed a guy and this was the only way to get one. And, you know, that leads to them kind of doing a last ditch move here, cleaning out the offensive staff to build around him, because they don't really have another option. Now, Alex Van Pelt and some other guys are here in New England as a result.
Yep.
So
good point.
You got to make the moves. It's just you got to make the right one. And that's what the GM paid a lot of money to do.
Quite true. All right, let's get into the seven-round mock. We're 45 minutes in. We haven't even started yet. So we got to get through this. Let's get into the seven-round mock. We're doing PFN this time, Pro Football Network. So a little bit different. We did PFF last time. We'll do fast. Obviously, the Patriots.
Yeah.
Drafting at three. Now, they offer trades as well. Yes, do they offer trades?
They do.
So that's good.
They can get a little bit wacky with the trade sometimes. They're very eager. So I'd say we apply our own realism filter to this one.
I'm down with it.
Yeah. All right. We're jumping into this mock here. Patriots on the board. We'll hide this for a second. Your first two picks: Caleb Williams and Drake May. Patriots have trade offers. They have, let's see, they have one trade offer. In this case, hypothetically, it is Pittsburgh that wants to move up to come get a quarterback.
Okay.
They're offering New England pick 20, pick 51, pick 84, a second and a third, in 2025, all for that number three pick. What are you thinking, Pat?
I don't hate it. I really would love a first round pick next year as opposed to a second and a third next year.
Yeah.
I even probably would say I would rather, like, if let's just say he took out 81 and the third round pick next year, do you think you'd be able to get a first round pick next year? I don't think so. I don't know if that'd be enough.
Well, let's try this. We'll just swap the second for a first next year and propose it.
Okay.
That's been rejected.
No, I would say swap out, take out 81.
84?
And the second. Take out 81 and the second and see if you can get the first.
All right. So this deal would be three for picks 20 and 51 this year and Pittsburgh's first and thirds next year. That's been rejected.
That's crazy. Okay.
Do you want to stay here then?
Yeah, we can. We can. Yeah, let's just, we could just stay. It's fine. Did we stay last time? I feel like we did.
I don't remember, from being honest.
And did we draft Marvin Harrison Jr.? I don't want to do the same dang thing that we did last time.
You can ask maybe the chat remembers, because I don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I was like, I feel like we didn't. I'm almost positive we didn't trade out, because I feel like I would remember that. Had we traded out, I would have remembered that, and we didn't. I know we didn't. The question for me is, let's see. Hold on, let's see. Let's see. I'm gonna try Monday. No. Oh my God. Come on. What are we doing here?
What are you doing, math over there, Pat?
No, I'm just looking through my
Nelson says we drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. last time.
All right. Yeah. So we can't do it. Can't do Marvin Harrison Jr. again. So do you want to
wait, but Old Man Mom says last week you didn't take Marvin Harrison Jr. Says you guys took QB, I believe. We're all over the place.
Oh yeah. My God. All right.
Dez says I've been watching too many mocks to remember. That sounds about right.
That's a great point. Do you want to try to trade back? You want to try to do our own trade?
We could do it. I don't hate doing one where we take Jaden Daniels here and just see how the draft falls. That's one we haven't really done.
You can do Daniels if you want. That's fine. Maybe you should do JJ McCarthy.
I'll take Daniels here and see how it falls. Jaden Daniels to pick at 3. We get to 34. We do have 2 trade offers, which we can look at in a second. A run on tackles to end the first round. Troy Fountenot goes to San Francisco. Tyler Guyton goes to Kansas City. And then the first pick of the second round, Kingsley Sumamatia, goes to Carolina. Some of the guys on the board here: Graham Barton, interior offensive lineman from Duke, is the best overall player. A.D. Mitchell from Texas. Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle from Arizona. Ladd McConkie, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, Michael Penix, all guys on the board here when we're looking at offense.
Okay. I like that. What are the trade offers?
There are 2. We got 1 from New Orleans. They give us pick 45, so that's moving down 11 spots, and 2nd and 6th round picks in 2025. The other one is Jacksonville. Patriots give up 34 and 229. Get pick 48, so you move back 14 spots and pick up a 6th rounder next year.
Why the hell would we make the second trade?
Well, you're getting 2 second round picks for the price of a 2nd and a 7th out of that one.
Didn't you say a 6th round pick next year from them?
Second.
Oh, a 2nd. Aha. Okay, yeah. Never mind. Yeah. I kind of like the first one.
I kind of just want to stay here, if I'm being honest.
We can just stay if you want. It's fine with me. I mean, whatever you want to do, it's fine.
Yeah. I feel like here, I think.
We got Jake Mitchell, right?
Well, what I'm weighing here is that tackle is a need. And after Jordan Morgan, I think things kind of fall off here. You know, you got the Yale guy. Not sure when, how long he's going to be on the board. You've got Patrick Paul. It gets a little bit rocky after Jordan Morgan. I think if you want to address this receiver, there's more depth. I like a lot of the guys here: A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkie, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, Malachi Corley, all guys I like.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have like Jordan Morgan and Xavier Leggett than A.D. Mitchell and whatever tackle was left there.
In my opinion, I would rather go A.D. Mitchell and a guy like Patrick Paul in the 3rd than taking, you know, because Jordan Morgan to me is a right tackle, which is fine, but you just hopefully you've just signed Mike Onwenu to play right tackle for you. So now you're gonna draft a right tackle as well. I think it makes more sense to get Mitchell. Seems to be that like legit outside guy. ran fast as hell at the combine. You know what I mean? Like,
you might be confusing Jordan Morgan with somebody else because he has exclusively played left tackle.
Has he? I don't know why. Yes. I thought he was right tackle. Yeah. Well, listen. If you want to go with Jordan Morgan and take the tackle, we can take the tackle if you want. That's fine. And go from there. I also wonder before we make that move, would you want to try to make a move back into the second round before we make this move?
You mean make a trade up from the third round?
Correct.
We could try that. How far up do you want to come? Well, it's our pick at 68.
Yep. I was thinking somewhere like in the late 40s.
That's going to be expensive.
I know. But say we give 68 and a third round next year. I don't know if that's enough.
Let's see. Should we try with like Jacksonville here?
Yeah, let's try with Jacksonville.
Didn't they already have an offer on the table?
They did.
Okay. We'll just counter off of that.
Yeah. So offer is 68 and
229. We'll start there.
Well, yeah, that's not gonna happen. But no, do 68, 229, and do a third round next year. Just see what happens.
I think this is gonna go through. That might be too much. But let's see.
I don't think so.
Accepted.
All right.
So the Patriots are now the owners of picks 34 and 48. I think if this is how it is, you take Jordan Morgan here because you're gonna like any.
And then you get, right. I feel a lot more comfortable taking Jordan Morgan in this spot because I feel like definitely one of those wide receivers will be available at 48.
Yeah.
So all right, let's do it.
Jordan Morgan, we get to pick. Yeah, we'll hide this for now. Pick 48. Oh boy, the three picks before New England all receivers: Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey, Jalen Polk.
Had gotten Ladd McConkey at 48, we would have been geniuses.
Yeah, I would have been.
Amazing. Can't believe it.
The best on the board right now is Xavier Worthy. Michael Penix still there. I don't think we're drafting quarterback here. Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, is actually a guy I think they would like a lot, although that's not as much of a need. Go defense, Adisa Isaac here from Penn State, JT Sanders from Texas, the tight end is here, Malachi Corley, the wide receiver, is your second best wide receiver on the board. Roman Wilson is ranked 66 in this board, and I feel like he ends up going higher than that. What are you thinking for receiver here?
Listen, we all know that you love Roman Wilson, okay? Michigan guy over there. But, like, how can you not take Xavier Worthy? Like, Worthy, and to me, it almost seems unrealistic. Like, I feel like Worthy looked like a good player anyways, and he runs a 4-2-1. He's going to get drafted in the first round. Like, it seems as though he's going to get drafted in the first round. But I'm taking Worthy. And in this particular instance where the board falls, I feel like you have to take Worthy. He's the guy that you want to be, like, explosive guy. And again, he's not a guy that is just a speed guy, you know? So I think
he's got some quickness to him. Yeah.
Right. I think Worthy makes a lot of sense.
The Patriots are about to run out the skinniest team ever with.
Also, you know, I love Malachi Corley too. I mean, I would be okay with Corley too, but yeah. I just think it makes sense.
Their Pats are going to run out Tyquan Thornton, Xavier Worthy, and Jaden Daniels and have the skinniest team.
That's right, baby. That's right. We're going to run past everyone instead of through them.
Yeah. All right. Pats on the board again at 104. You have two offensive tackles, Delmar Glaze and Blake Fisher, taken right before them. And then the defensive tackle, Mason Smith from LSU. So Johnny Wilson at pick 100 to the Bills is really interesting. Jaheim Bell at pick 99 to the Rams is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Sinnott to the Chiefs at 95.
That's just straight up rude.
That feels like a war. That's got to be a war crime.
Yeah. Do you even imagine?
That's wild. So some of the guys on the board here, Cade Stover, tight end from Ohio State, is the highest on this board right here. You've got Dominic Pooney, I think is interesting. He's listed as a guard from Kansas, but he had really good length. I think he can play a number of spots on the offensive line. Jamari Thrash, a wide receiver who I personally like quite a bit as a depth guy. If you wanted to do the double dip on quarterbacks route, a Michael Pratt at pick 104, I honestly wouldn't hate that move.
Okay.
I don't think I would do it here or for some of the other guys. Malik Washington, wide receiver at 114, is still there. The Theo Johnson, that tight end with a crazy athletic score, is available at 119. Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida, is ranked 122. Tanner Bordellini, your guy at offensive line there from Wisconsin. If you scroll down a bit. I honestly, in this position, would not hate trading down a bit. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's no one that like really, really sticks out for me. So what do we got?
The Vikings have a trade offer. Patriots move down 5 spots and give up pick 190 to move up to 154. I like that a lot.
Okay.
I do too. That's the only offer on the board, but I like it.
Let's take it.
We just accept
it. Let's take it.
All right. Oh, Jamari Thrash came off. I was hoping he might be there. I personally think Dominic Pooney is the guy that you go with here. I don't think he's actually a guard from what I'm remembering. I think he can play a number of spots. Although, you know, guard is a little bit of an issue. You know, you got to shore up the offensive line regardless.
Well, you're in the fourth round now. I don't hate doing that. I really don't. So I'm okay with taking a guy like Dominic Pooney. And again, 6'5", 313, like that's pretty big. You know,
he's a big guy. I'm gonna pull up and see, you know, his snaps and where he played.
I also wonder what the combine numbers are. I don't know if
pull up his RAS. He played left tackle for Kansas this year. He played left guard the year before. He's got some versatility there, and I think, you know, investing in a guy who can play tackle or guard, they need.
Let's see, 33 3/8 arm.
That's long enough.
So, and it's 6'5". I mean, I could see him, again, probably fits better at guard, but that doesn't mean that he can't be a tackle.
Yeah, I think he can be either, and you just bring him in, and he's a guy.
And again, and this is what I said about Bordellini in my mock last week, is like he gives you position flexibility. So maybe you bring him in and you realize that he can't actually play tackle, but you drafted a left tackle already. And so he's a guy that really is probably going to be better suited at guard, but can fill in at tackle if you need him to. Just like, who's that guy?
Big Mike.
Oh, that guy, Mike Owenu. Right. So like that's worked out pretty well for you. So like, I don't mind that.
And I think too, when, you know, City So and Cole Strange are very much question marks at guard.
Yeah, this right. is
still a need for you. So we'll go.
Agreed.
We'll go with Pooney here at pick 109. And next pick's going to be 136 here. Oh, man. This is another one where the Patriots get jumped a little bit. Ricky Pearsall goes at pick 135, the one before them.
Come on.
Yeah, that's one I would have wanted right there.
PFN. Killing me.
Other notables, Brendan Rice at 131 to USC. That Bama speedster, Jermaine Burton, at 132 to San Francisco. Theo Johnson also to San Francisco, the athletic tight end there. Luke Washington to the Broncos. Tanner Bordellini to the Steelers. Some interesting picks in there.
That's a good fit. I like that a lot. Yeah. What do we got for tight end? Old Man Mob just asking. I was just thinking the same thing. Tight end and running back. What are we looking at there?
Top tight end on the board is Jared Wiley from TCU. Top running back on the board, the New England special, Dylan Lowry from New Hampshire.
I mean,
the darling. Here, give me 1 sec here to check this out because I want to double check something. So you know how I mentioned how there were a bunch of tight ends that were athletic freaks at the combine?
Yeah.
Yep. Jared Wiley is one of them. He's 6'6", 249 pounds. He still ran a 4.62 40 despite that. He had a 37-inch vertical and still had, you know, decent three-cone and broad jump times.
Jesus.
Yeah, and if I'm remembering correctly, I could be wrong here. I think he's on the younger end. I could be totally wrong there.
Hold on. Give me the name one more time because I got to put it in. Or how do you spell it, I should say.
Jared Wiley. J-A-R-E-D Wiley. He's definitely not on the younger end. I'm confused.
W-I-L-E-Y? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how he spelled it.
Yeah, he's a fifth-year guy.
Okay.
Let me pull up some of his stats here.
Yeah, 4'6", 37-inch vert, 9'10", broad, which isn't bad. 7'19", three cone, which is decent.
For somebody who has 520 receiving yards this past season and 8 receiving touchdowns, you know, that frame will definitely help you out there.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you want to take Wiley, we can do that. I don't know who else is on the board there at tight end. I don't know if there's another guy after him that you feel comfortable with at all.
I'll also note he got not the best blocking grade from PFF this season, but he's had some pretty decent blocking grades in there. So, you know, that's something. I like a tight end who can block. We'll just take a look at some of the other options at these positions while we're doing it. So the other running back, Isaiah Davis, Ray Davis, Jahar Jordan, Blake Watson are some of your next guys. Tight end is Wiley, McAllen Castles, which is a fantastic name.
Sure.
Eric All, Tanner McLaughlin, I'll say, is another one of these guys who did really well testing. So if you'd rather go Dylan Laube and hope McLaughlin's on the board, I can be okay with that.
All right, let's do it. I like that. I like that idea better. I just like the idea of having Dylan Laube on our draft.
Yes.
I'm a fan of it.
Laube will be the pick there at 136. 154. Let's see who's on. Ooh. You know who's on the board here? Luke McCaffrey.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second.
Interesting.
I mean, Luke McCaffrey.
I think you have to.
I mean,
Javon Baker from UCF. But I like McCaffrey.
Someone mentioned Javon Baker, too. Is Javon Baker... He wouldn't be available in the next round, obviously, I would assume.
No. I'm perfectly okay with Luke McCaffrey here.
I kind of feel like... I mean, it's Luke McCaffrey. Like, I kind of feel like you kind of have to take him, right?
Yeah. I feel like this fits. It's a need. Double dip at wide receiver. Two guys who I think can separate for you.
Luke
McCaffrey, the pick at 154. Now we wait for 182. And let us see. Tanner McLaughlin, the guy I was hoping was still going to be on the board, is here. The tight end from Arizona.
I'm okay with that. We drafted zero defensive players just like last time, but
who cares?
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I'm cool with it.
And McLaughlin is a kind of a similar to Wiley that we were talking about. Just, you know, a little bit smaller all around, and just a tiny bit faster.
Yeah,
I think this is the guy I was thinking. So he's not actually younger. He just has 2 years of Division One experience. I don't remember what his background is, but he was at Arizona for 2 seasons, had almost 1,000 yards combined in those 2 seasons.
Okay. Yeah. 6'5", 244, another 4'6", 140, 35 inch for 9'9" broad jump. Didn't run any of the other drills, but I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it. Let's do it. 6'5", 244 is big enough for me. So.
Yeah. And especially, you know, at this point in the draft, I'm down for it.
All right.
Patriots, grab him in the 180s. Is that it?
The draft.
I think we're out of picks.
All we got. We're going to have a seventh round pick because we traded it. Didn't we trade seventh round pick? Is that what we did?
We did. That's when we moved up. Trey Knox ended up being the last pick there. So the whole draft for New England. We'll run through it again. At pick 3, quarterback Jaden Daniels from LSU. At pick 34, offensive tackle Jordan Morgan from Arizona. At pick 48, with a trade up, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas. Pick 109, with a trade down, Dominic Pooney from Kansas, offensive lineman. Pick 136, Dylan Laube, running back from New Hampshire. Pick 154, you acquired it in that trade back earlier, Luke McCaffrey from Rice, the wide receiver. And you wrap up at 182 with Tanner McLaughlin.
I like it. I don't know how much I love it because you did give up a third round pick next year. You didn't pick up any future picks, but and again, I don't know if like realistically that would happen. I also don't think that specific trade up would happen. Like we made the trade up before any of the guys were taken. That specific trade up wouldn't happen from the Patriots side, I don't think, in that situation. You know what I mean? Like I think McConkey keeps dropping and they move up three spots above where they were and take McConkey instead of taking a guy like Worthy. You know what I mean?
He's not like Worthy, but McConkey, I think, is a guy. I think he's going to be really good. Actually, do you know who I saw him compared to somewhere recently? Was Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I saw someone write that too, which I thought was interesting because people think that he's a slot guy and he's not a slot guy. He's an outside receiver.
He's just that quick. He can play anywhere. He can get off jams. He's a guy. Honestly, wouldn't super shock me to see him jump into like your first round conversation, depending on how this goes.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to run through a couple of user submitted mocks before we?
Yeah. By the way, old man Mob says, "What's the 49ers going to Rice, McCaffrey, and Gore in the draft?" That'd be incredible.
That would be really good. That would be fun. Would love that for the bit. All right. You guys sent us in some mocks. I think we got all of them. If we didn't, harass me online somewhere and we'll make sure it's included next week.
Yes. Someone harass
Pat. Don't harass me.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Just harass me. That'll be fine.
want me to run through these real quick?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We'll start with Old Man Mob. He's got two here. His first, Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3, Darius Robinson at pick 34, Spencer Rattler at 68, Christian Jones at 104, Zion Tapula-Fatui at 150, the edge from Washington, 168, Aeneas Smith, wide receiver from Texas A&M, Jared Wiley at 182, Dylan Laube at 190, and Zion Nelson at 229. Old Man Mob's second mock that he sent in, because you know he had to get in two of them. He's going to trade back. They get J.J. McCarthy at pick 12, Kingsley Sumamatia at pick 34, Will Shipley at pick 68, the running back from Clemson, Cade Stover, tight end from Ohio State at 81, Michael Hall, the defensive tackle from Ohio State at 104, Brendan Rice at 136, Andrew Coker, offensive tackle from TCU at 182, Taj Washington, wide receiver from USC at 190, and Brevin Spann Ford, tight end from Minnesota at 229. And in this one, you pick up two future picks from Denver, first and second rounders. What are your thoughts on these, Pat?
I got to tell you, Spectre Des said the same thing. I agree with him. I like the second one better than the first one. First one's not bad, but my goodness. And Old Man Mom did say last week we talked about not drafting the same players. And I'm not sure we did a bad job of looking at. I got to go back and find which one is which. But we talked about not drafting the same players, and Old Man Mob did that, where you know he mixed it up and drafted different players. I like the second one a lot. Again, J.J. McCarthy at 12. I don't know how good J.J. McCarthy is going to be, but you move out, you pick up a first and a second next year. You take a swing at quarterback. You draft a very good offensive lineman at 34. Potential game-breaking running back at 68, a solid tight end. We'll see what happens with Rice and Washington as your wide receivers, but at least you take a chance on a few guys like that, and both USC guys, which is interesting. Oh, Old Man Mom says you also got Sutton in the trade, so that's a heck of a trade back.
There we go.
From 3 to 12 to get Sutton, a first and a second to move back. So, you know, I think that I like the idea of that trade. We'll see. But I like the idea that you're getting so much to move from 3 to 12 and then kind of just stockpiling assets for next year. Especially Denver, I don't think is going to be very good next year. They're probably going to move up to take a rookie quarterback. I'm sorry. They're not going to have money to really do much this year. So, like, I don't think they're going to be great. So that might be another top 10 to 15 pick again next year.
Well, I think I love the idea of trading with Denver or Vegas, because both of those teams play in a division with the defending Super Bowl champs and best quarterback in the game and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And you got Justin Herbert and the the national champion at the college level coach, Jim Harbaugh. And I think those teams are both going to end up being really good down the future here. So I think if you can bet against the other teams in that division, I think that's a pretty productive bet. Let's go on. We got Nelson Lloyd, who's been in the chat tonight. Nelson, you submitted a draft. We got a trade back to pick 14. The Patriots are going to get Rome Odunze at 14. They're going to pair him with his quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. at pick 34. I got to learn how to pronounce this name, man. Kieran Amagdiji, the offensive tackle from Yale. I'm definitely not getting that right at pick 68.
Okay. Close enough.
Yeah. We're going to grab another wide receiver, Jalen McMillan from Washington. So we're putting together all these Washington guys in New England, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Corner Kalen King at pick 104. Running back Blake Corum at pick 136. Defensive tackle Tyler Davis at 145. Tight end Isaac Rex at 172. Edge Jordan Strachan at 182. Guard Jacob Monk at 184. Wide receiver Xavier Weaver at 190. Tight end Devin Culp at 216. Edge Eric Watts at 229. Running back Kendall Milton at 230. Corner Storm Duck at 243. Elite name.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah. Offensive tackle Julian Pearl at 250. And future second round picks from Kansas City and New Orleans, and future thirds from Cleveland and New Orleans. My man Nelson was wheeling and dealing in this.
Yeah, he was. Holy shnikes. If you could get a Dunzie at 14, that's outrageous. And I love Penix. Penix at 34, I think, is fantastic. And then to get the kid from Yale as well.
Yeah.
I love the idea of doing that. You know, there's some good Blake Corum. I saw Blake Corum compared to Kevin Falk today on Twitter, which I thought was a really interesting comparison. But he has a similar 40 time and I think a similar three cone. I don't know if he's quite as shifty as Falk was. Falk was incredibly shifty coming out of LSU. But still, I think it's an interesting comp, a guy that I think can do some things for you. So I love it, and all the willing and dealing, and to get 2 second-rounders and 2 third-rounders next year. And again, Tanner in the chat says, I don't know if you're going to pick that many times. We may not pick that many picks. But still, I like the idea of throwing a ton of darts at the board, seeing what happens, picking up extra picks in the future and going from there. So
that is a whopping 16 picks in that one.
Hey, listen, said last year they weren't going to make 11 and they made it all 11. So like, who knows?
Yeah. I appreciate Nelson testing out my auctioneering skills, trying to read through that whole list there.
Yeah, it was great. Well done, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Next one here from our guy, Joe Martino. Emailed this one into us. He starts it off by saying, hey, here's my mock. It's centered around the Pats signing a cheaper veteran quarterback to a 2-year deal. The idea is that they play 1 year, mentor year two, the trade up to pick 132, so round one, pick 32, would be for McCarthy, Nix, Penix in order to get a 5th-year option, which is vital for a rookie quarterback. Hope this makes the pod. Well, here it is, Joe. They're going to start with a trade back to pick 13, getting picks 44, 113, and future first from Las Vegas. And they take Talisi Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State. And they move up to pick 32 to take J.J. McCarthy. And they're going to give up
They get 44 in the third, right?
Yeah. So they keep pick 34 here, which they use on another tackle, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. In the fourth, it's wide receiver Xavier Leggett and running back Jalen Wright from Tennessee. That's 104 and 113. They get the same Yale offensive tackle at pick 136 here, Kieran Amagdiji. Double dip on quarterback with Jordan Travis at 182. And the Michigan edge, Jalen Harrell, rounds it out at 229.
I like it. I think it's a little too heavy on offensive linemen. I like the Fuaga pick at 13. I like the trade back with Vegas. I even like the move up to get McCarthy at 32. Guyton, I think, is a little bit overkill at 34. Though, I'll tell you, man, he's so good. Like, he has a chance to be really good. So I wouldn't necessarily hate it. I just feel like if you sign Michael Williams with this big contract to be your right tackle, to then take two tackles is tough. Now, if you don't sign Michael Williams to be your left tackle, to be your right tackle, then I wouldn't hate that, right? So, but we've already, you know, invested into that. I feel like you kind of have to take a wide receiver in that spot. You know, and Leggett, I think I like Leggett. He's got some question marks for me, but I like Leggett. Jalen White's just so flippin' fast.
He is.
You know, yeah, and Jordan Travis is a nice, it's an interesting dart throw in the sixth round. An interesting, yeah. I don't know if he'll ever be the guy in the NFL. I don't know if he'll ever get to that starting role, but he's got some fascinating traits that I think could warrant a draft pick in later rounds.
Yeah, I will say, I think this is probably one too many of the offensive linemen in particular. I don't think the Yale guy's there at pick 136. But I do, and I think I like Fuaga. I'm not sure if he's a Patriots fit. I don't think you're taking Fuaga if you re-sign Michael Owenu. So if you know, if Joe's prediction here is that Owenu is not staying, I think the Fuaga pick makes a lot more sense. I don't know if Guyton will be there at 34, but if he is, I think you get really good value and you might be able to set your tackle spots for a while here, and that's good. And mm-hmm. you know, you play for the future a little bit at wide receiver, which I don't hate. I think there is a lot to like, and I do like coming up to pick 32. I just don't think there's any world in which JJ McCarthy is there at pick 32. I think that
at this point, you're probably right. Now, again, this may have been submitted earlier in the week before the combine testing. What I don't understand. And help me understand it.
Yeah.
I feel like he didn't go to the combine and blow people out of the water.
I think
he went from a second round pick to like a top 10 pick. I don't understand it.
I think where JJ McCarthy blew people out of the water was with his actual size. When you watch JJ McCarthy, he looks like a guy who's 6 feet, 6 foot one, and maybe 200, 205 pounds. And he comes in, you know, 10, 15 pounds heavier than that and with an extra inch or two. And I think that helped him. You know, he wasn't, you know, the numbers you see on the roster aren't really inflated. He really is that big. And I think having some of that weight in particular for a quarterback is big just to absorb the hits. I also think some of what we saw was not JJ McCarthy moving up the boards of NFL teams, but the media finding out where NFL teams have him ranked.
That's true. I think
that's part of it, because this is where they get to hear a little bit more, and you can hear what all the teams are saying. And you know, I think if I were to grade JJ McCarthy, I'd give him a second round grade. If you give a quarterback a second round grade, that means they're probably going somewhere between, you know, picks 10 and 25. If there's quarterback needy teams in there that are scheme fits for the guy in question, because it's a quarterback and they're going to get moved up. So
fair.
If he's there at 32, I love the value, and you know, I would love the value higher than that. I've done a mock back in January with the Patriots taking him at 19, and that is something that I would like for New England, depending on how things go before that. But I think higher than that is a bit much for me.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
All right. By the way, a few thanks in the chat. A few people now sending Old Man Mob, you know, saying thanks for reading. I mean, thank you guys for submitting them. It's great. And a lot of really good ideas, a lot of really good picks. And so keep them coming, you know, for our Monday shows.
We like the out of the box thinking too, because it's easy to get stuck into, you know, what it is that you like to see. And
right. And that's, and I think that,
in here. Yeah.
100%. And that's part of the reason why I like doing this, is because at the end of the draft, we're taking different guys that people haven't heard of before. So again, you know, whether it's Jalen Harrell right here, right, edge of Michigan, it's like, you know who Jalen Harrell is, but maybe some people don't. And so it's like, you know, and then someone mentions that guy, and you're like, oh wait, we talked about him on the podcast, you know. So I think it's beneficial.
For Harrell's just a solid, you know, edge guy. He's never gonna be anything super dynamic or explosive, but he's just solid out there. He's done a lot.
Right.
He did a lot for Michigan's defense last year, and he's a scheme fit. I'll tell you that.
Jennings did a real nice job of doing exactly that for the Patriots this year. I mean, obviously it took him 4 years to get there, but doesn't matter. Like, he got there at some point, and he's
there.
You know, not necessarily explosive pass rusher, but played a really important role for the Patriots, I think.
Yep. All right, we got Got a couple more mocks to get through here. We're going to go to Thaddeus Skywalker. Love Thad. There's a bunch of trades in here, and I could have screenshotted it, but I didn't want to try to fit that in. So I'm just going to read what we got here. It's got the Patriots trading back to 6 and still getting Marvin Harrison Jr., which, by the way, I think it was Lance Zierlein put out a mock today that had Neighbors as the first receiver off the board, and Marvin Harrison Jr. falling to 5 with the Chargers, which I think is terrifying to give Justin Herbert a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And Lance Zierlein's very plugged in, and he's been pretty insistent that NFL teams are not unanimous in Marvin Harrison Jr. being the guy at receiver.
Yeah.
So worth putting that out there. Thad had the Patriots taking Tyler Guyton at 34. So we got that same pick here in back-to-back mocks. JT Sanders at pick 68. Adisa Isaac at 109, the edge from Penn State. I really like that. He's the guy across from Chop Robinson in that defense, yep, on that front. He's, yep, speedy. He's been really solid for them. I think that's a fit. Jalen Wright. We got another Jalen Wright pick in here at 136. Tyke Smith, the safety from Georgia, at 174. Joe Milton at 184. Carlton Johnson, the corner from Fresno State, at 196. Fabian Lovett, the offensive lineman from Florida State, at 219. And Trevor Keegan, offensive lineman from Michigan, at 229. I'm going to be honest. There's some names in there that I just do not know, and I'm going to have to research.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. But that's okay. And again, that's why I like doing this. I like the top of the draft. I mean, if you could trade back and get Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, like, come on, that's incredible. And so I like the idea of that. Obviously, then Tyler Guyton, we already talked about him at 34, and then Jatavion Sanders, and then getting an edge player at 109. I think you're getting some really, really solid value there from a bunch of different positions. You're adding another safety. You're adding another corner. You're adding, again, an offensive lineman there at the end. So I like the idea of that trade quite a bit. And again, I don't know of that draft, I'm sorry, quite a bit. I don't know exactly what it all looks like. Of course, you're taking a complete shot in the dark at Joe Milton. We already talked about him. Like, probably going to suck in the NFL. But, like,
sure,
if somehow he can figure it out, like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah, and when you here's the thing. I'm not necessarily in love with taking a day three quarterback this year with how they are. But if you're picking up extra picks and you want to, use an extra pick on one of those guys, I feel a lot better about it. All right. We got two from our guy Tim. I'm gonna go with our first one here. He sent in two in part because he thinks this first one is a bit unrealistic, but he wanted to put it in there anyway. Patriots trade back twice. Actually, I think. No. Or am I misreading this?
I think twice, right?
I think I'm reading that correctly. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, they end up at pick 16, and they get Jaden Daniels at pick 16. If you can trade back and get Jaden Daniels at 16, I'm ecstatic about it. There's a little bit more wheeling and dealing in here. They end up at pick 25. They're going to get Brian Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU there. Then they're going to pick at 36, and they're going to get A.D. Mitchell there, the wide receiver from Texas. Got Blake Fisher, tackle from Notre Dame at 68. Corner Chris Abrams-Drain at 91 from Mizzou. Matt Goncalves, tackle from Pittsburgh at 101. Running back from Florida State, Trey Benson at 136. Edge defender from Clemson, Xavier Thomas at 139. And at 229, they wrap it up with Trey Knox, the tight end. I mean, just the top four of this draft is incredible. Yeah,
incredible. So I'm trying to follow the picks that he made. So he traded one for 337, 139 in the second round pick next year. Then he traded five. No, I'm sorry. He traded three for five, 37, 139 in a second round pick next year. Then he traded five, 104 and a sixth round pick next year for 25, 88, 91 and a first, second, and third next year. Then he traded 25, 88, and 182 for 16 to go up and get Jaden Daniels. Then he went back to 25 by trading 37 and a third round pick next year for 25 to take Brian Thomas. Then he traded 34 for 36 and 101. So it's a million trades. It's a ton of different trades. But, like, those are my favorite kinds of trades. Belichick used to do crap like this all the time where he'd, like, trade one pick and then trade that pick and then turn that pick into something else. And then and so is it a little unrealistic? But, like, probably. But the fact that you pick up 2 second-round picks next year and a first-round pick next year, and you end up trading that third-round pick next year. But still, you pick up all these extra picks, and you still have a pick at 34 because you traded pick 37. I mean, like, I love it. I love the idea of doing that. Again, I don't know if how realistic it is, and Tim said that, but, like, I love it.
Yeah, and Tim's got a second one here in case that one wasn't realistic enough. Has a small trade back here with the Giants at the top. You get Roma Dunze at pick 6, J.J. McCarthy at pick 34, Blake Fisher again at 68, Tez Walker at pick 70. That, I believe, yeah, they picked that up with the trade back. Same tackle from Pittsburgh at 104. D.J. James, the corner from Auburn, at 136. We've got Joe Milton in this one, so another quarterback coming in at 149. Edge defender Braden McGregor from Michigan at 182. Jace McClellan, halfback from Bama at 204. Tanner McLaughlin, tight end from Arizona at 244. And Keaton Oladipo, safety from Oregon State at 255. I think this is a lot more realistic. I think it's still tough with J.J. McCarthy, but I'm very happy if you go to Odunze in this draft.
Yeah, 100%. And in this situation, again, just because it's hard to see on the screen, you trade 3 to the Giants, you get 6, 70, 140 in their first-round pick next year. Mm-hmm. That's a haul to move back a few spots and pick up, if you're thinking wide receiver at 3. If you're looking at it saying, we don't want to take a quarterback at 3, we want to take a wide receiver. But you're able to get a third-round pick this year, a fifth-round pick next year, this year, and a first-round pick next year. It's a no-brainer to me. And you still get Rome, who, in my opinion, is if he's not the second-best wide receiver, he's awfully close to the second-best wide receiver. Of these top wide receivers, I think, are legitimate wide receiver one players.
Yeah, did you see Odunze staying late on his 3
I loved it.
Combine?
I loved it. Intangible. I loved it so much.
If that was, you know, if that was a designed thing to get people in, I bought it. You know, he can win an Oscar with that performance. I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Love that energy from him.
I agree.
We got two more to wrap this up, I believe, from Ashton.
Yep.
That were sent in. First one, we also got Odunze at pick 8. Pair him with Michael Penix, his quarterback, at pick 34. Patrick Paul, offensive tackle from Houston at 43. Rook Orohoro, defensive tackle from Clemson at 68. Ben Sinnott, legend Ben Sinnott at 79. Blake Fisher at 106, Luke McCaffrey at 136, Tommy Eichenberg, linebacker from Ohio State at 182, Josh Proctor, safety from Ohio State at 183, Jahar Jordan, running back from Louisville at 190, and Josh DeBerry, great name, corner from Texas A&M at 229.
I like that.
We're starting to see some themes here. You know, we've seen Blake Fisher a couple times in here. We picked Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I think I'm not the biggest Michael Penix fan on the planet, but if you can pair him with any of his wide receivers and you're taking him in the second, I can get on board with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, at this point, any of these quarterbacks, these second tier quarterbacks, and I don't know if I'd put Spencer Rattler in that spot, but if you're telling me you can draft Michael Penix or Bo Nix in the second round at 34, I'm in. And in this situation, I think in whatever situation you're doing that in, you're trading back, getting a number one wide receiver and picking up probably a first round pick next year. I'm 100% in on that because you're getting an early pick next year. You're taking a shot at a quarterback on day 2 and you're also getting a what appears to be, or what could be, a number one wide receiver at the top of the first round. And I love the idea of doing that.
Yeah. I like it. And I like the Eichenberg and Proctor duo from Ohio State on defense late. I think that's a nice gamble to take. There's some good stuff there from both of those guys. All right, last mock we're doing here. Second one from Ashton. We got somehow impossibly, a trade back, and the Patriots get Drake May anyway at pick six. At pick 34, it's Jordan Morgan. At pick 39, it's Lad Antonio Brown McConkey. At pick 68, it's Michael Hall, defensive tackle from Ohio State. At 104, it's Delmar Glaze, offensive tackle from Maryland. Another really fantastic name.
Sure, that's is. A really,
that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Cowing, wide receiver from
Maryland. How many people would get? He'd have to get, well, I guess 69 is already strange, but like, imagine how many people would get a lot, like a Glaze. Like, come on. I mean, that would be.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blake Watson, Memphis running back at 182. Zion Tupola-Fatui, edge from Washington at 190. And Darian Taylor Demerson at 229, safety from Texas Tech. So some of these sixth, seventh round guys I have not gone into the tape on. I'm going to be completely honest with everybody, which
yeah.
I gotta get deeper into this. But if you can land like May, it. Morgan, and McConkey, you know, that's fantastic.
This is it. This is the winner right here. If we come away with Drake May, Jordan Morgan, Lad McConkey, and Jacob Cowan, come on, dude. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, that would come be on. Incredible.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So no, I, you know, a lot of really good drafts. And again, we appreciate you guys sending them in because this is where you look at, you know, what's there. And like you said, there's a lot of guys late in these drafts that we don't know either. We got to go back and look at some of these guys too. And so we appreciate you guys sending them in. So thank you very much. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Monday nights, we'll be doing this. Next Monday night, I probably will not be in, but you never know. I'm bringing my stuff with me. So I might be in, but we'll see.
Yeah, things get next week. Things get busy for both of us too. Yeah. Outside of free agency, rough week to have things going on. So yeah. we'll have yeah. content for you though.
Okay. Yeah, all right. But yes, and DJ Daniel says that he talks about Rattler's mental toughness and how he's overcome a ton of things with people basically hating him ever since QB1, which is totally true. And it's fair to say that. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that don't like him, but he has a chance, I think.
I think there's the mental toughness on the field, too. I mean, that dude got beaten up behind the South Carolina offensive line and just came out alive on the other side. So I don't know if he's good, but I do think there's something to be said for a guy who can play through it anyway, especially if you're looking for, you know, just a guy at quarterback to hold you over until you find the guy. I think a guy who can withstand pressure and not break mentally is a good to have.
Agreed. All right. That's what we got. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate you. You know, keep them coming. And we'll be back Thursday night. Try to line up a guest for Thursday night. We'll see. We're trying to line up a guest for Thursday night. And we, the anti-Mackie says, not a bad point. But we'll try to line up a guest for Thursday night. So we'll have a few things to talk about. Hopefully by then, maybe the Patriots will have signed someone. Maybe they won't. We'll see. Yeah. If they can sign a few of their guys. They supposedly have offered contracts to both Kendrick Bourne and Kyle Duggar. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that that's going to happen, but they have offered them contracts. Whether they sign them or not, we'll see. They might be waiting to free agency. I don't know.
And I would add a note on this. I wouldn't read too much in any direction about who they may or may not offer contracts to right now.
Right.
One, because we're never going to know the full picture. And correct. There are probably guys who have been offered things that aren't reported because it just doesn't get reported.
That's also very true. Yep.
And the other part is that it is not abnormal at all, especially for the Patriots in this process, to have an internal valuation of a player and say, hey, we want you to, you know, feel respected. We'll let you go hit the market. You go see what's out there. Then come back to us once you have your offers. And we'll see about matching. And, you know, that's how Julian Edelman stayed in New England. People forget he tested the market. And that's, I want to say Devin McCourty did briefly at one point in there. I think he hit the market and then came back. So, you know, that's something that New England does. That's their MO in this whole thing. And that's something that happens all around the league. So just because guys at free agency doesn't mean the Patriots don't want them back, aren't trying to get them back, aren't competitive with their offers. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of discussions, a lot of people throwing stuff into the press and trying to negotiate that way too. So it's good best point. Not, especially for guys who are role players, it's best not to read into anything until we're 3, 4, 5 days into free agency, really, because
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. So we'll see. And, you know, Old Man Mob mentions Hightower. That happened to Hightower, too. DJ Daniels said Slater. Same thing happened to him, too. So, you know, definitely, that's definitely the truth. The Patriots have been known to let players walk and then say, don't sign anything until you talk to us.
And that's a great way to build a relationship with a player, because the player knows that they're getting a fair market value from the deal. And it's also good for the Patriots, because if they're not the one kind of setting the offer first, if their valuation for a player is $10 million a year, and that's what they're willing to pay him, he comes back and says, I got an offer for $8 million a year. The Pats can pay him $9 million and save $1 million off what they were expecting to, you know, that kind
of thing. Very true. Yep. Very true. Yep. The other side of it could be true as well, but then it's a question of, okay, if I have a $10 million valuation on this guy and he's getting 10 and a half from somewhere else, do I go up $1 million a year? Right. And then you got to make that decision about, is it worth it for me to go? Do I like him enough to say, I'm going to go from here and go higher than what I expected?
And I think if you do your process right here, you go in already knowing the answer to that question before free agency is started, and you know, hey, this is a hard limit. We're not going above it. And part of the reason is because if it's a Kendrick Bourne who says, hey, this is what I'm being offered, it's a million extra per year, and they got somebody else they got their eyes on in free agency who they think is the same quality player, but for, you know, whatever that extra money is, if your evaluations are correct and you're doing it right, that's a really good way to build a team. Did it for a long time.
I also just think, though, I just think, too, that, like, you shouldn't, in my opinion, you shouldn't let money dictate that for me, only because they have so much cap space at this point.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. That's what I'm hoping that they do this year, is just kind of throw caution to the wind and say, you know what, if we love this guy, I'm not going to let $1 million or even $2 million stop me from bringing this guy back or bringing this guy in.
A lot of it's going to depend on, you know, the quality of the players that hit free agency too.
We already see guys getting locked up. Mike Evans getting locked up. Baker Mayfield, I assume, will be back in Tampa. We'll see. But
I would not
going to happen.
I'm going to tell you, I would not mind Baker in New England.
I agree.
Only because I think, you know, with the amount of money the Patriots have, in some ways it's hard to spend that effectively. You can get Baker Mayfield on a deal that has an out after 2 years, and the ups your quarterback play immediately, ups your leadership in the room immediately, has a relationship with the coaches. And, you know, this is a guy who is competitive and fiery for his job, but we also know can be a good teammate and can, you know, if they draft a guy next year, he can live with it and they can figure it out or whatever. Yeah. That might be your best option for making the team better now, while also giving you plenty of flexibility going forward for fixing the quarterback position.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. So we'll see. All right. Well, anyways, thanks for coming out, guys. We appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. We went long tonight. So thank you for holding in there. We appreciate you guys. A lot of mock drafts, but keep sending them our way. And we got to get the beginning of the show a little quicker, but that's okay. We like talking. You guys like it too. So we got that, and we'll go from there. But Thursday night, we'll be back, and then we will go from there. And next Monday, legal tampering will be happening. It's going to be incredible. So I'm very excited about that.
Tamper.
Oh, I'm so excited. So excited. I'm going to tamper the hell out of this free agent class. It's going to be great. So, all right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Well, not next week. We'll talk to you on Thursday.